I'm John Krall. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about extended learning. As part of our commitment to American Graduate, we're going to discuss ways that we can expand learning opportunities for Indiana's and America's students. My guests will be Eric Peterson of Indiana After School Alliance, Bob Abrams of Echo 15, and Dan Deal of Deal Evaluation and Consulting. Please join the conversation by calling 1-866-476-3881, emailing nolimits at WFYI.org, or connecting via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We look forward to talking with you. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by WGU Indiana, Indiana's 8th state university. Information about earning a degree from WGU, an accredited online nonprofit university, is available at indiana.wgu.edu. And by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about extended learning. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. And as we talk about education today, we want you to know that this program is part of American Graduate, a public media initiative funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to help address the dropout crisis. The initiative builds on our commitment to education through conversations and partnerships between public radio and television stations and local schools, businesses, and community organizations to help students stay on the path to a high school diploma. My guests today are Eric Peterson with the After School Alliance. Eric, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me here.
It's good to have you here. Bob Abrams with Echo 15. Bob, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here, John.
It's good to have you here. And Dan Deal, who is with Deal Evaluation and Consulting. Dan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John.
Well, probably ought to start for those people who don't do education speak. What do we mean by education learning? I'll start with Eric on that one. Education learning. Extended learning.
Well, actually, that term has lots of different definitions depending on who you talk to, and there are variations on it. So you can talk about extended learning, expanded learning, expanded learning opportunities, expanded learning time, and really all of those terms are ways to convey this idea that young people need additional time for learning, additional experiences, additional hours, whether it's during the after-school time between 3 and 6 or 7 on weekdays or weekends, or extending the school year into summer learning programs, before school programs. All of those sort of fall under that umbrella, really, of extended learning or expanded learning. And really, it's what you do with that time that we're really interested in, that looking forward to talking about a little bit today. You know, hands-on experiential learning, getting kids engaged in their own education, getting them excited, and reinforcing what they learned during the actual school day.
Bob, why is extended learning a good idea, or why might it be a good idea?
The probably Dan or Eric have the exact statistics, but a young person spends most of their time not in school. And so they're, just from a time aspect, there is a lot of time available for a young person to have the opportunity to experience new learning and to be introduced to new subjects. And as Eric says, there's flexibility available for a variety of reasons that I expect we'll discuss. In an after school or out of school experience, as compared to the more structured in school.
Dan, is that this flexibility? I mean, does it lend itself more to individualized approaches to education? Or I see Eric nodding his head, but is that one of the primary advantages of extended learning?
Well, the after-school time period is an opportunity. You have smaller class sizes. You have an opportunity for after-school providers to engage more on a personal level with kids. And we know that the more adults in a kid's life, especially at that more intimate level, is nothing but good. So that after-school opportunity provides those environments for children to thrive.
Probably ought to ask, just so people know where you're coming from. Eric, could you, what is the After School Alliance?
Sure. So the After School Alliance is a national organization based in Washington, D.C., where I'm from. I'm in town for a conference today here in Indianapolis. But we are a nonprofit advocacy awareness policy organization, really, that seeks to increase the number of high-quality after-school, summer learning, expanded learning opportunities for all children.
Okay. And, Bob, I ought to ask you not what After School Alliance is, but what ECHO 15 is.
ECHO 15 stands for Economic Opportunities Through Education by 2015. That's why we go by ECHO 15.
So you're working within a two-year window here.
Well, we started in 2008, so we've been at it for a while. ECHO 15 is a not-for-profit organization. It covers 10 counties in southeastern Indiana. Its primary purpose is workforce development to address the skills needs of the primary employers in southeast Indiana, which are predominantly STEM-based industries, manufacturing and healthcare. So we're very much committed to supporting the kinds of activities that support help both young people and adults to be better prepared for the good jobs in southeast Indiana.
And Dan, deal evaluation and consulting. What do you evaluate and what do you consult on or with?
Usually they don't give a local evaluator a microphone, so we appreciate the opportunity. We're based out of Evansville, Indiana, but we provide national evaluation consulting for after-school programs. Essentially what we do is help them identify goals and objectives and then put in metrics to assess the efficacy of programs and services. Those usually lead to program improvements, ways they can make programs better for kids and families, and then also be able to demonstrate the impact of the services.
What is the standard for determining whether something's better? I mean, how do you measure that? Is it in, student satisfaction surveys? Is it test scores? What's the tool?
Right. Well, we're of the belief that everything is measurable, mm-hmm. But you don't want to measure everything.
Yeah.
We meet with clients and we try to identify what is the program expected, what are the expected outcomes, and so we tie those specific objectives to the specific strategies that they're implementing to make sure there's an intentional effort there to impact certain outcomes. Now, a lot of the funds that these after-school programs receive, they mm-hmm. come with them. Certain outcomes that they're expected to see. So a lot of our evaluations include different types of metrics that are aligned with those either federal, state, or foundation indicators.
We are talking about extended learning here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, give me an example here of what would constitute a good extended learning or after-school experience. I'll start with Bob on that one.
There are a number of programs. Well, I'll give you one that I'm very much involved in. The Indiana After School Network, which is a group that brings together after-school service providers throughout the state, is very interested in promoting STEM education opportunities outside of the classroom. STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. Again, it's a hot topic in Indiana and in the state, and there are programs that the Indiana After School Network has partnered with to enable local service providers to take advantage of resources. For example, there's a robotics programs at various levels, various age groups to get kids involved in engineering type activities and that are a lot of fun. There is a program that the Indiana After School Network has partnered with that provides NASA materials to out-of-school service providers using space-based information. Just again, it's not only science-based and educational, but it's fun for kids outside the classroom.
Eric, you've got a national perspective on this. What states are doing, you know, are sort of at the forefront of the extended learning initiative?
Well, there's a number of them. Really, there's innovations we're seeing all over the country. Indiana certainly is right up there with some of the other states like California, like New York, you know, where we're really seeing, as Bob said, comprehensive programs where they're bringing in community partners, they're partnering with local businesses, they're bringing in older folks from the community who serve as volunteers or as tutors. They're providing meals. They're doing, again, sort of the hands-on learning where kids are able to use that time to try things out, make mistakes, learn from the mistake. If it doesn't work the first time, tweak something, figure it out, try it again. So that kind of really inquiry-based learning that you know, we talked about flexibility before. It's really that flexibility of figuring things out on your own. So it is individualized in a lot of cases in good quality programs. And we are able to look at, you know, certainly test scores, but other things to measure those outcomes. So are they are the young people attending school more regularly? That's one of the outcomes we see nationally from quality after school programs. They have better attendance. They're more likely to graduate on time. The teachers report less sort of behavior incidents in the classroom. So really a whole range of sort of academic but also social and emotional outcomes that we see from young people participating in good quality programming.
What defines a really good extended learning program? What are the hallmarks of it?
So a lot of, you know, what I just said, we actually have done some work at this.
But I guess what I'm trying to drill down to is give me a specific, you know, let's walk it through here and say, I mean, is this something we do at all levels of primary education where we start in elementary school or even pre-K and then go through the middle school and high school years as well? I see people nodding their heads, nodding your head. This is not a visual medium, so that's not going to communicate. Okay, so let's talk. Eric, I'll stay with you for a second. Give me, an example, something of what the students would be doing at, say, an elementary school level for a good extended learning program.
Sure. So a quality elementary school level program, and briefly just to answer your question, you know, there are good examples of programming at all age levels, so mm-hmm. really K through 12, but they look very different mm-hmm. Depending on the age.
Well, I'm going to ask these guys to give me examples at the other levels. You
works.
Get elementary.
Elementary is a great level. So so a quality program there, just to kind of walk you through, and again, they're all different, but to walk you through some of the activities that a young person would do. So they would get out of school, go to the program. Typically, there's a snack, a nutritious snack, something to kind of, they haven't had lunch for a while, to kind of get the juices flowing. There's also often sort of a group meeting. So you think almost like a pep rally. So getting people's spirits up, a little bit of exercise, trying to really set the tone for the day. Then you'll go into, in some places, depending on what the young person's working on, there might be some homework help. A lot of programs have that component in there. But then really, you'll go into your programming where you're linked to the school day. So the lessons that folks had in class, whether it was math or reading, are reinforced, but in a way where there's a hook and a way where it really makes learning fun, you know, as Bob said. So a prime example of that, you know, might be building a skateboard, right? So what's the math involved in building a skateboard? What's the, even for, you know, elementary school students, you know, what are the physics involved here? Simple machines, wheels, how they work, really trying to link back to what they were learning maybe in another setting, another way, another format, like a worksheet or you know, mini lecture during the classroom. But now, you know, getting their hands dirty and having fun with it, figuring things out. What happens if I, you know, use square wheels instead of round wheels, you know, so trying to really figure this out on their own in a way that's fun. And, you know, robotics is a great example. We see rocketry, you know, the STEM idea is very popular, but also, you know, quilting and learning math through quilting or knitting or cooking or gardening. So it's getting folks out in the community.
So it's much more about application of the skills that they've learned then, right? Of figuring out how to use what they have been learning in theory in the classroom.
It is, making it relevant to them, really, so they see the connection between the classroom and the real world.
We are talking about extended learning here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Eric Peterson with the After School Alliance, Bob Abrams of Echo 15, and Dan Deal with Deal Evaluation and Consulting. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking about extended learning today on No Limits. It's about expanding educational opportunities for students. And as we talk about education today, we want you to know that this program is part of American Graduate, a public media initiative funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to help address the dropout crisis. The initiative builds on our commitment to education through conversations and partnerships between public radio and television stations and local schools, businesses, and community organizations to help students stay on the path to a high school diploma. My guests are Eric Peterson with the After School Alliance, Bob Abrams of Echo 15, and Dan Deal with Deal Evaluation and Consulting. We were talking just before the break. I asked Eric to define what was a really good elementary school extended learning opportunity. I'm going to go to Bob now and ask him to talk about middle school. Dan, you know, by the process of elimination, that means you get high school. Okay.
And what I'm going to say isn't just limited to middle school, but there are two features of a really quality out-of-school program that aren't always so easy to implement, but are worth talking about. One is the connection between the out-of-school programming and the in-school. Mm-hmm. And this is a challenge, needless to say, to have that kind of close communication. But often there are opportunities, again, through application in an out-of-school program to reinforce and to extend the information that a middle school student or any age student is learning about in the classroom. The other feature, and Eric mentioned this earlier, is community involvement. It relates once again to the aspect of more flexibility in an out-of-school program. Often out-of-school programs are held outside the school environment in some kind of community facility, a church, or who knows where, a meeting hall. And having that connection to community partners is, I think, a real benefit to bringing a sense of reality and application of school principles into problem solving. That and at the middle school level, you can get into fairly sophisticated problems to work on.
We are talking about extended learning here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Okay, Dan, take us down the last mile here. High school, what's a good extended learning experience for high school students?
Right. It certainly incorporates the same type of principles that my colleagues have just shared about. Core process of making sure it's a safe environment. We know the after-school time period is a high-risk time period for kids. They're more likely to have particular crime or engage in high-risk type behaviors. So creating that safe environment where they can come and experience that is important. Also, we want to make sure that environment involves relationships, especially at the teenage years. that's the time where relationships with peers emerges. And so you want to create environments that they have an opportunity to socialize. And you want an engaging environment. We learned a long time ago that kids vote with their feet, mm-hmm. and no more place than high school. I mean, they have many opportunities. So you need a high-quality opportunity for kids to attend that engages them. And then specific activities for high school students involve more like service learning, where they can give back to their communities. And a lot of the programs we work with, the high school students go down to the middle school level or the mm-hmm. elementary level, and their assistants in the programs, they provide those particular opportunities. They serve as mentors. Credit recovery is another particular area for high school students. It's an opportunity for them to catch up on credits that they may have lost or need to capture. And any type of project-based or applied learning skills. I think that's the whole message with the after-school environment. It's an opportunity to engage in hands-on, minds-on type activities that the regular school day may not have time for.
We are talking about extended learning here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Jill, welcome to the program.
Hi. I'm calling because you have people on your panel today representing both nonprofit and for-profit groups that have very organized and structured after-school activities, but especially elementary school students really need a part of their day that is unstructured, just to play and be kids and do very non-academic things. It's really important for their growth and development, and I just wanted somebody to make that point, to balance out your panelists.
Thanks very much for the call, Jill, and I'll actually put your question to them, too. Thanks for the call. Well, that's a point. I guess there are a couple of things. I'll let each of you, and there is kind of a backlash. There is some concern out there that we now structure kids' lives too much, that, you know, I'm not supposed to talk about my age on the radio, but I do remember a time when you just ran outside and played with people. You didn't have play dates or things that were that organized or structured. Have we lost something in this idea that, you know, from the sounds of it, if we're talking about an after-school experience, let's assume that school starts around 8, finishes up sometime between 2 and 3, and then we're tacking on another couple hours. That's sort of the equivalent of a work day right there. Is there a cost to doing that, Dan?
Well, I really appreciate Jill's question and comment. I'm a former child and adolescent therapist, and primary vehicle was play therapy. So we know that that's how children learn, is through play. And so what's really important to emphasize with really high-quality programs is they give kids a choice. They ask kids what these programs should look like. Again, they vote with their feet. So if they don't want to come after school, they don't have to. So we work with kids individually and create programs around those. And yes, we might have an academic enrichment program like cooking, where they could go to another particular program to attend. And then there's recreation and tutoring. So it's this combination of programs and services that they can participate in, but certainly creating an environment that allows those unstructured interactions extremely important in a child's life.
Well, let me take this from the Bob, did you want to jump in?
Well, John, your comment about looking at the child's day as a full work day is very telling, because that's the reality of many families today, mm-hmm. that both parents work, and so that there needs to be quality and safe care, particularly for the elementary and middle school students.
But a lot of teachers would balk at the idea that they're providing child care. I mean, they would resent.
And that's not obviously there are child care programs that support kids after school. But Dan was talking earlier about the metrics that mm-hmm. are attached to after-school programs, and one of the purposes of having metrics is to assess and monitor the quality of the service being provided. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is an increasingly important aspect. Parents and families want to know about what their kids are doing between 3 and 6 o'clock, and part of that is recreation, but there also is a real opportunity for providing support for what they're doing in school and also for extending their learning.
Eric, let me take this from the other end. I mean, if some of this is that we need to prolong their learning experience, is the solution, instead of creating a whole nother set of programs, just extending the school day?
Well, and really the umbrella term of extended learning, you know, would encompass those programs as well. There are some districts that are adding time to the school day. And that's really where you get into the, you know, what does that time look like? What are you using it for? Are you adding 15 minutes more of math but not doing anything differently? So we would say that, you know, whether it's part of a school day or whether it's an after-school program, you need to have that balance. You know, Jill's, you know, right on in that. You have to have the balance between some, you know, some structure, coordination, learning, making the learning fun, but some unstructured time as well for the younger kids, you know, is important. The one element that, you know, that hasn't been mentioned too in terms of elements of or components of a quality program is really the staff. So making sure you have caring, trained staff that are there because they love kids, but also there to be able to share young people and kind of bring them through these programs.
And that gets to the question everybody hates to ask in these, but where does the money come from? Where should it come from?
Right. So I will say we've done some work on this at the national level. And 76% of funding for after-school programs nationally is parent fee-based. So it's the parents contributing, low-income parents, middle-income parents, high-income parents. 11% is federal funding. There's a couple of federal funding streams mostly that go through schools. There's one, the 21st Century Community Learning Center Initiative. It's been around for about 15 years or so, that goes through community-based organizations in partnership with schools and schools in partnership with community-based organizations. So there is that, you know, critical funding stream that provides infrastructure really to leverage local funding streams. And then there's, you know, smaller state and local that contribute. There are private foundations and corporations that contribute to these programs too. But particularly, you know, from the federal funding and even, you know, other government funding streams, it's providing opportunities for low-income families that whose parents can't necessarily afford piano lessons or karate school. So it kind of closes that opportunity gap, if you've mm-hmm. heard of that term, of allowing those folks some opportunities as well.
We are talking about extended learning here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Sandra, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What's on your mind?
Well, my question has probably been answered in the last few seconds. I was concerned or interested in knowing what neighborhoods and what communities are covered by these after-school programs, and I think the gentleman already addressed that. But I had a second question,
okay,
which was if they have any kind of research that determines whether or not these programs help children raise their level of self-esteem.
Good question. Thank you very much for the call, Sandra.
Thank you.
Certainly. Well, research, Dan?
Self-esteem, that's a great question. I believe we need to add that as an outcome measure. currently, our outcomes that we've been seeing impact on are very similar to what Eric was saying, is in terms of increasing attendance, increasing test scores, increasing GPA, as well as homework completion. But I think more what we're really seeing is that it's not just kind of one-shot participation in these activities. We need to see participation over 30 days and even at 60 or 90 days. Mm-hmm. And we're also seeing these effects across years. So it's more this consistent involvement in programs and services that lead to these particular outcomes.
What are the
outcomes?
Effects that we see out of this? What do students who have participated in extended learning gain from them? What is the research showing there? Eric, I'll throw that one to you.
So there's actually quite a bit of evaluation research that's been done on programs. It depends on the program because they are you know, flexible and therefore different across the board. But there's some good studies that show improved academic outcomes around test scores. It's not a perfect measure, but it's the one that everyone uses. There's also, you know, a school day attendance, so increasing attendance. And we know, you know, really attendance behavior and coursework are sort of the ABCs to making sure kids are successful in their education. So, and it addresses behavior as well. So you get that bonus. And then finally, we have good measures on being able to say that kids that participate on a regular, consistent basis, as was just noted, so sort of the dosage idea or coming over time, that those young people are more likely to stay in school, more likely to graduate on time.
Bob.
Self-esteem, as Dan suggested, is a tough one to measure, but I know of one.
Especially when it's excessive.
But, right. I can provide one example of an after-school program that is the focus of the activity. And I can't remember the exact name of it. I live in Bartholomew County, and the Bartholomew Consolidated Schools offer to elementary-age girls a program of running after school. And it's a national program, actually, and I apologize.
Girls on the Run.
Girls on the Run. And there are two purposes, stated purposes for this program. One is obviously fitness, and the other is self-esteem building. And
how does it build the self-esteem? Is it through?
They talked, and there are community members who volunteer as coaches for the young ladies. And besides doing training for running and running with the girls and trying to build a culture of continued fitness, they also talk about the kinds of issues that fifth and sixth grade girls need to start thinking about, and they talk about it as a group.
We've talked also about, and I probably should say, if you would like to join this conversation, you can do so by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Dan, we talked a little bit. We've talked, obviously, a lot about extended learning, but also used the term enrichment. What is the difference between those two? And I'm sure many of our listeners who have been through the school experience and heard educators talking about enrichment have some understanding of what it means, but could you walk us through that?
Well, I think it means different things to different people, but when I think of enrichment, I'll use an example of an after-school cooking club that we were a part of. So in that environment, it was just a really hands-on, engaging activity where they were cooking different things, but they were integrating math and reading within all the particular lessons. Another program that we were I was pretty excited about. It was called Wishing I Was Fishing. And we pulled together a lot of different resources to provide this fishing club for kids. And we integrated information related to environmental science. So kids are learning a lot of really standards-based concepts, but doing it in an environment that they don't really know that they're learning. That's kind of that enrichment focus, as opposed to a more direct instructional emphasis.
If you're a parent and you're thinking about trying to get your child involved in some sort of extended learning experience, what should you be looking for? Dan, I'll stay with you on that one.
Well, one thing I want to mention is that your last caller asked about where these programs are.
Yeah.
We also represent the Indiana After School Network. And if you Google the Indiana After School Network, you're going to see our mapping database. And so it you can really look at your particular area and see which after school programs are located in that particular area. You could also contact IEN to get some more particular emphasis or information about that.
How would they do that?
I would Google Indiana After School Network.
Okay.
Go to that website. You'll see the mapping database, and you can also contact them through the website.
Okay, and then back to if a parent's looking for a specific, say there are these opportunities in your area, what should be the hallmarks? How should you judge what's a good one for your child?
Well, as a parent, I know we know our kids the best. So I think number one, it's making sure the opportunity meets their particular needs. And I know as a parent of a 7-year-old, there's many opportunities for her, and we give her this opportunity, allow her to participate in it. If she likes it, she likes it. If she doesn't, we might go on to another opportunity. So in a lot of ways, it's shopping around.
It's a consumer-driven kind of thing where you have to check.
Absolutely. But I would say, though, you do want to emphasize quality. You want to make sure that there's an environment where there's caring adults that are going to support your kids.
We are talking about extended learning here on No Limits. My guests are Eric Peterson, Bob Abrams, and Dan Deal. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about extended learning. And as we talk about education today, we want you to know that this program is part of American Graduate, a public media initiative funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to help address the dropout crisis. The initiative builds on our commitment to education through conversations and partnerships between public radio and television stations and local schools, businesses, and community organizations to help students stay on the path to a high school diploma. My guests are Eric Peterson of the After School Alliance, Bob Abrams of Echo 15, and Dan Deal with Deal Evaluation and Consulting. Bob, we were talking about what parents should look for in a good program right before the break.
Right, and I agree with Dan's suggestion that the first stop is to look at the Indiana After School Network website. But I would also suggest parents talk to the local school, talk to the principal, your students' teachers. Often there is a relationship there. In some cases, the school district will actually bus kids to different after-school locations. So typically, particularly in a smaller community, the educators are well connected to the after-school providers, and it's a good place to start looking.
We are talking about extended learning here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Vivian, welcome to the program.
Welcome. Thank you. First of all, let me thank you guys, because I really do believe that application of knowledge is one of the most important ways that children learn. And that said, my sister and I have been lamenting over the fact that our grandchildren were going to babysitters instead of being able to continue to learn and do their homework. And so we thought we'd get into some urban gardening. And one of you mentioned gardening as one of the tools that you used for hands-on learning.
Eric's smiling, so it must have been him.
Yeah, how do we merge all of that? How do we make contact with, who do we make contact with? How do we make contact? How do we bring all this together if we want to start some sort of after-school program that incorporates our concept of urban gardening and teaching through gardening?
Bob, thank you very much for the call, Vivian.
There's actually a program up in the Michigan City, it's in Michigan City, where there's a master gardener who has created an after-school program I think they're primarily middle school and high school age students. And so I would Google after school in Michigan City. You'll get some contact names, but there's already an excellent example of just what you're talking about, Vivian, is thriving in northern Indiana.
Well, let's take a step back, though, and get Vivian's. I mean, if say you've got an idea, whether it's gardening or whether it's setting up a fishing club or the whole skateboard idea or something like that, how do you go about setting that up? What are the hurdles you have to go through? Eric?
Well, first of all, the first thing I think you would want to do is see if someone else is already doing it. See if there's someone you can partner with, someone you can work with. And so a good place to start for that is, as I'll join the chorus here, is to go to the Indiana After School Network, if you're here in Indiana, to see what programs are out there, what's existing, who you can partner with to supplement what they're doing already, or perhaps they're already doing something similar to your idea. But once you get through that step, I'll send folks to throughout our website, the afterschoolalliance.org.
And we have give a link it to them again.
www.afterschool, it's all one word, alliance. www.noblemits.org. And there's a tab there right on the front page on the left that says how to start an after-school program. That talks about what you need to think through, how you come up with a plan, potential funding ideas and funding streams. So, you know, there are resources that exist that will kind of walk you through and make that idea come to life. And I talk to folks often who have really creative ideas who are interested, but I do advise them to really first look for existing partners and programs to tap
into. Do these have to be certified, or are they regulated in any way? Or we, you know, I mean, we talked about a consumer-driven thing. I mean, is it completely laissez-faire, or is there some process you have to go through to get your after-school program certified? Dan, I'll throw that one to you since everybody else is avoiding eye contact.
Well, I was too, John. Well, I think through the school systems, a lot of those programs are already certified. Now, we, through the Indiana After School Network, we don't certify programs, but we do promote quality standards. So organizations can use these standards to do a self-assessment to see how well they're doing in terms of implementing high-quality programs. So certainly that would be a question to ask. Are they using the Indiana After School standards? Would they consider using those? Or asking about any particular certifications. Certainly there's licensed daycares. After-school programming might be different than that. So certainly those are questions that you would want to ask.
So to some degree, it is a buyer beware kind of situation. Eric, you're nodding your head.
You need
to investigate this.
You do need to investigate. I wanted to defer to Dan on that because I'm not that familiar with the situation in Indiana. But I will say, you know, a number of states do have licensing, you know, for their programs kind of through the same office and agency that licensed childcare. So there are standards there. There are federal standards in some cases, depending on the funding stream. So if they're the program is being supported by the Child Care Development Block Grant or by the 21st Century Community Learning Center Initiative, then there are, you know, standards that they need to meet. And so those are ways sort of to vet things. But certainly, you know, there are examples out there of programs that that need to improve in their quality, and therefore it is important to ask the questions that we've talked about, to investigate, to visit, to talk to educators in the school district, and really see if that program is right for you.
We are talking about extended learning here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We've talked about maps and the areas where extended learning or after-school programs are available. Can we talk, this can be a little dicier, but are there certain demographic groups or certain kinds of students or children that these kind of extended learning options are either more important for, or, you know, that they just benefit from more than others? Dan, I'll start with you.
Okay. Well, I'm a firm believer that every child can benefit from an after-school program. Certainly, there are some kids that would certainly need these particular opportunities in higher poverty communities, where I think it was mentioned where their parents might not be able to afford some of these things. But I think that all children can benefit, and our goal as an Indiana After School Network is to create a web of support throughout Indiana, where every child that wants to attend an after-school program can in their local community. Now, there are challenges, especially in rural communities, where we don't have those kind of resources. A lot of times in our rural communities, the schools are really the heart of communities. So this is another area that I believe we've been talking about this entire time, but it's really about community schooling, where community organizations and schools working together to provide resources for kids and families, where all kids can participate, and kids, especially from more vulnerable populations, have access and opportunities.
So, Eric or Bob, either one of you, so really, is what we're talking about here is the African proverb that, you know, that it takes a village to raise a child? Is that the premise behind the after school, that the primary benefit here you know, I guess one of the primary benefits, other than the instructional time of the application of skills, is the connection with a community outside of school, or a sense that they belong to a larger community. Bob, I'll let you take that one first.
Absolutely. And again, this is right down my alley, the kind of work I do every day. But businesses, the community, industry in a region is generally very interested in doing activities that support the schools and their the kids in their community. Also, and again, this is right consistent with the work that I'm involved in. Businesses have a vested interest in better preparing young people for the future. We all see all the time about the workforce gaps that are developing in a number of industries in our region. And this is just another opportunity for local companies to touch kids in a way that helps them prepare themselves and succeed more in school, and also another reason to stay in the community. So absolutely, I've found that that community members are very open and willing to work with young people in the out-of-school environment.
We've talked about this an awful lot in the context of how it benefits children, but we're asking really here for community investment. Eric, could you talk a little bit about what it does for the communities, what the benefits might be?
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the key benefits for families as part of the community is sort of, you know, we like to talk about extended learning and after-school programs as keeping young people safe, helping working families, and inspiring learning. So that helping working families piece is key for the parents in the community. But really also, you know, particularly I've seen this in rural communities and rural areas where the after-school program in partnership with the school, bringing folks together, it really serves as a networking opportunity for the parents to get connected to their school. So it's they'll come to the program to pick up their young people instead of because they're at work when school gets out. It's a chance to talk to the other parents. It's often an opportunity in some communities where they can get access to other services within the community. So it's not unusual for an comprehensive after-school program to have a social worker on staff. So they kind of keep an eye on the community and families and know, you know, perhaps this family near the end of the month could use a little bit something from the local food pantry or food bank. So, you know, it's that way of bringing folks together and sharing ideas, sharing resources. In that sense, you know, I would say that there's definitely a community benefit. It's also, particularly through some of the federal funding streams for after school, there is an allowable use for adult education. So we see after school programs where in the later hours of the evening, they'll offer English classes for English language learning adults or GED programs or, you know, other classes, even cooking, you know, for moms that may need to have a few cooking classes, and that'll help them out at home. So it really can serve as a way to bring the community together.
Since we are talking about this, you know, in the context, at least here in Indiana, where it is parents and to some degree have to be their own investigators, regulators, all of that. We've asked the question, what defines a good after-school experience? What are the signs you ought to look for if you're a parent for something that's a bad after-school experience, one to avoid? Bob?
Well, Dan's mentioned this a couple of times. If the kids don't want to go, that'd be the first thing that would require closer investigation. Generally, after-school programs are very popular with young people. They are going because they want to, and they're involved in activities that they probably don't have the opportunity to do in school. So if the kids, I mean, obviously kids are not always in line with what the parents want to do, and there might be periodic resistance. But if the kids just are really resisting going, I'd look further into it.
What should you do? I'm thinking also in the context of one of our listeners, Jill, called in with a question about unstructured time for students. I mean, how should you handle it? And I'll throw this one to Dan. If it is, you think, a good program, most of the time your son or daughter really wants to be involved, but just says, yeah, Mom, Dad, I'm tired, or I'm feeling a little, showing you some other signals that he or she may be burned out and would like a little more unstructured time. How should you respond to that?
Well, once again, I think you know your child better than anything. So if they're coming to you with that honesty, I think it's okay. Well, then let's find what you need to fill that time. What would they be? I guess my question back would be, what would they be doing as an alternative to that experience then? What does that child particularly want?
Well, I guess I'm thinking of it in I hope I'm not boring people here in a personal context, but, you know, my son loves baseball, would right. play it most of the time. You know, if I woke him up at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, let's go out and throw the ball, he would do it from a sound sleep. But he had an active weekend where he played a football and then a baseball doubleheader, and he had another opportunity to play and just said, can't go, I'm too tired. Right. Doesn't mean he doesn't love baseball, and he didn't go in that case. How do you differentiate between the, okay, I'm just temporarily fatigued on this, to from the, okay, this is, I've got some warning signs here?
All right. Well, I think, once again, as parents, we have those cues. We understand where our kids are, and we know when they can be pushed a little bit more, or if, yeah, we need to step in actually and say, wait a minute, we need to slow down here, maybe take a couple of days off in your particular example.
If I could just jump in there too, I would say in a quality program also, you'll be able to talk to the staff, and there's enough flexibility in a program to allow for, you know, students maybe to have some one-on-one time with the tutor or mentoring, or have a little unstructured time. So, you know, that's programs are different.
Sounds like
but not
it's a little
rigorous.
Bit like a teacher-parent relationship too, where you should be able to engage.
Absolutely.
This has been a fascinating conversation. I'd like to thank all of you for coming in. Eric with Eric Peterson with the After School Alliance, thank you very much for sharing your time with us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
When are you headed back to D.C.?
This evening.
This evening. Bob Abrams with Echo 15, thank you for making the drive up from Bartholomew County
thanks
to be
for,
with us.
Thanks for asking us to participate, John. I am going to return to Columbus right after this.
Thanks for sharing. And Dan Deal, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
We have been talking about extended learning here on No Limits. We will be back on Thursday when we will be marking Banned Books Week. That's for all of you who are lovers of literature and the written word, that is the show for you. I am John Kroll. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Alsett. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.